Hi, I'm Sharad Kutan, and welcome to Let's Talk, the show that brings you the most important conversations of the day. Today we're going to be talking about radio because I love radio. I do. And who better to talk about radio with than Shazmin Shamsuddin, host of the Light Breakfast Show, Prem Anand, head of digital for Astro Radio, and Daphne Lutz, head of marketing for Astro Radio. Thank you so much. We're all kind of comrades in arms in some way.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you for us.
Great to have you. World Radio Day or something like that happened a couple of weeks ago. But it's still relevant to talk about radio because it's one of the oldest, I think, mediums for communication. It's so effective. It's something I grew up with. And I'm wondering about all of you. Shaz, you, of course, are a voice that everybody knows. Yeah. Did you grow up with voices, listening to voices like that and, you know, the John Peels of the BBC World Service, people
well,
like that?
I'm a lot younger than that. So Casey Kasem, Shadow Stevens were kind of, you know, the thing we were all listening to in the 80s. And yeah, that's basically how, you know, things started in when Astro was established in 1996. You know, I joined in 1997, so it's been 20 odd years. You can actually really see how we've grown and evolved in
right.
You know,
okay.
In,
what about
in the
you?
Way we do things.
What about you, Prem? And did you also have an early, because actually, to be honest, I was a TV child. I really started with TV. I only took up radio when I was a teenager. And that's when, because, you know, radio was also very mature and you could plug into this whole world. What about you, Prem?
I mean, I guess for me, I picked up radio when it was Lil' Kev and Fly Guy and the new format radio came into Malaysia.
Oh, God, you're so young.
Yeah. I do remember Alan Pereira and Patrick Teo and all that, driving to school with my dad and stuff like that.
And that was Red Diffusion, was it?
That was, I think, RTM, right?
RTM.
Yeah. So it was, I mean, it seems like it was ages ago.
So you were listening to radio in the car driving to work?
Driving to school.
So your dad was driving you to
yes.
school. You know, this is interesting. So because people still do that, don't they? I mean,
yeah.
most people listen to radio on their work, on their way to work or on their way back. Daphne, what about you? I mean, what was your
experience?
How young are you? How much are you
going to take? Yesterday, I was. No, I would say that my experience is similar to Prem's, but I remember being in my room and using radio for music discovery and putting in a cassette tape. And then pressing play and stop so that I could listen to my favorite song. And, you know, working in radio now, I actually did an internship with Astro Radio when it was still at Time Management and Programming. And I went to Australia, I completed my studies there, I worked in radio over there, and then came back, and I think my passion for this space and how radio creates these personal stories, and really it's a one-on-one relationship that it has with its audience, and that's why I'm back in this space, Sharad. Yes.
It's a very intimate audience, experience, isn't it?
Yeah.
But there's a distinction to be made. I mean, the format radio you mentioned, or contemporary hits radio formats, and the talk format. And in Malaysia, at least, as far as I know, talk has always been marginal to the larger kind of music. When people talk about radio, and when people ask me when I said I was working radio, they say, oh, you're a DJ. I said, no, actually, I'm not.
Yeah.
I do interviews, and they're always the downcast, and they're like, oh,
yeah.
No.
I hate when they refer to us radio people as DJs, because even when I started in 97, I did not hold a disc.
Right.
You know,
okay.
Everything
but
was
do you see yourself, and this is, you know, for your work, right,
yes.
Shaz? Do you see it as talk? Do you see it as kind of music based? Where's the
right.
sweet spot for you?
When I started, it was music based. Then we moved more into the personal stories, and then of course now after GE14, there is this hunger for information and for talk. So this is the space we're at now. So I don't, I see myself as someone who is facilitating conversation.
Right.
Yeah.
Prem, you know, you said you had a start in radio also and as a producer, some in the back end.
Yeah.
Did you organize those gotcha calls? Because
no.
I must say, I have a beef at gotcha calls. I don't know. I'm sure I'll probably be sacked after this, but I really hate gotcha.
So I was actually producing for Light at that point. And I mean, so when I first joined AMP Radio Networks, as Daphne said, and I was working for Light FM, so it gave me a whole different perspective into what content people want to consume at a different age in their life. So I was this 20-year-old kid trying to do content for a 30 plus audience, you know, and it was just like, you know, I don't care about heart attacks. I don't care about the health stuff and all
which
that.
Which happens at 30
but,
now.
But
right?
then when you're producing the show, you have to do research about these kind of topics. And it actually opens up your mind and gives you a lot more knowledge in terms of what actually goes on behind the scenes in terms of the getting the guests to come in, getting the different booking, different interview slots. You know, it's just very, it's you learn something new every day.
Absolutely. Daphne, what is the distinction now? Do people really say, you know, that, you know, talk radio is a different species, a different planet, and contemporary hits radio is another planet and they never will meet? Or are the genres kind of like mixing, melding, and, you know, blurring, are lines blurring in terms of delivering entertainment, intelligent talk, you know, engaging your audience?
I would say that light is a good example of how we're trying to kind of meld the two together. Our brands under Astro Radio, which is what I'll focus on, are always about delivering fun, engaging content, but also those conversations that matter. What do our audience really want to consume? So it's about stories at the end of the day, delivering the infotainment that our audiences want. As Shaz mentioned, their appetite for it has grown, but then within a format that we are familiar with.
Right. I must say, I also hate infotainment as an expression. Well, I mean, do you see yourself as an infotainer,
no,
Shaz?
No, actually, no. I'm very conversational. I like dialogue, and this is, you know, this is where we're headed. And with the real lives, real people, real stories, this is definitely what light listeners want in the morning. You know, they don't want to be, you know, bashed on the head with too much talk and too much debate and too much this, too much that. But they want something that they can relate to and that they feel strongly about. Because if it doesn't touch your heartstrings, it touches your purse strings. That affects you as well. You want to talk about.
But how do you calibrate it? And isn't it difficult to figure out what people want? Because in the radio station I used to work for, people wanted blood sport. They wanted really robust discussions. They wanted you not to let somebody off the hook and nail the lie if there was a lie or a lack of clarity. And, you know, they wanted us tough. They wanted a challenge in the morning. They wanted their synapses exploding.
Well, so
are we talking to different audiences then?
I would say we are, because those who want that will listen to that, and those who don't want that kind of thing in the morning will listen to light.
Right.
I mean, I've had people calling
me
up.
That's why it's called light. Okay, we'll take a short break and we'll be back with more. Stay tuned to Let's Talk with me, Sharad Kutan. Hi, welcome back to Let's Talk. I'm Sharad Kutan. With me, Shazmin Shamsuddin from The Light, a breakfast show, and Prem Anand and Daphne Luz, both involved in Astro Radio. One as head of digital and one as head of marketing. Now, Daphne, we put this to you. You know, when I said I hate gotcha radio, you know, the pushback will be that actually a lot of people do like it. So why should my taste determine what everybody else listens to? Why is it that you think gotcha is a successful kind of format
segment that we have?
I
guess we know that it appeals to the hits audience, right? Under Astro Radio, we have 11 brands, and they all connect with a different subculture within the Malaysian market. And there's so many of them. We're not going to love every single one for us. As a marketer, I need to be empathetic, right? And be able to put myself in the shoes of the audience that we want to connect with. And it's not willy-nilly kind of, you know, we think it works. We do a lot of research. You know, we work with, right, Prem, we work with different research and analytical international companies that then provide us with the insight. And, you know, being on the receiving end, every day there are people submitting, please gotcha my aunt, please gotcha my mom, please gotcha my daughter. Like, I don't
but
know.
I mean, so you don't, what about the criticism? What about the criticism that we're kind of dumbing down the audience and this idea that for so much of, you know, the life of this nation, we've not allowed people to be adults on mass media?
I mean, people consume content differently. So some people like just plain prank calls in the morning. Some people like very inspirational talk in the morning that they listen to Light. Some people just want something about male versus female kind of topics. So it varies depending on the age group you're in. And from the research we've done so far, I think for the past 15 years or so, Gotcha seems to be up there as the number one slot in terms of the breakfast show for hits.
Okay. Shaz, what's your feeling of Gotcha T? And I mean, you take this broader. I mean, I mean, you're cast as inspirational radio for the morning. Is that how you see yourself?
It's nice if I inspire that one person who's listening, because to be honest, when I'm behind the mic, I don't speak to a million people. I speak one-on-one. And if I'm inspirational to someone, great. If I provide information or a bit of sarcasm here and there, because, you know, I can be a bit sarcastic.
Ooh, understatement of the day.
You know me from another time. But yeah, so it's not bad to be inspirational. I mean, we're all not cynical all the time. So, yeah.
Okay, so what are the gaps that remain? And what are the gaps or what spaces have opened up as a consequence? Charles said, you know, since last year from the, you know, with the general election and basically the liberalizing of, you know, the media, government not being breathing down our necks anymore, what spaces have opened in marketing terms, in terms of a brand possibility for Astro Radio?
In today's kind of media landscape, from a marketing perspective, I think the best thing would be accessibility, right? We all carry a device in our pockets, and some may say, with kind of the rise of that, where does that leave radio?
So like podcasts and radio on demand, is it?
Yeah. So where does that leave kind of the traditional FM broadcasting of radio? And I would say that it has evolved. And we have already been evolving over the years. Most radio stations in Malaysia will have an app. We all podcast content. And embracing this ease of portability has allowed us to build, you know, ecosystems of platforms. So radio today, I would say, is about brands connecting with people, and then it's using the different platforms to tell our story.
Right, but also in an ecosystem, sort of supporting each other's stuff.
Yes, okay.
What was your the biggest challenge for you, Prem, around you know, the digital dimension of radio? What was it? You might have a podcast, but how do you drive people to it? If you drive people to it, can you monetize it? That's always the big question.
I guess monetization has always been the key. But, I mean, it's not just podcasts. So we produce a lot of video content. We produce a lot of on-demand radio. Our websites, we produce articles. We produce a lot of a variety of content, if you say. And this is essentially to make it easy for people to consume that content. Even if they're not consuming the brand on air, they're still consuming the video. So Shaz does an interview with a minister, for example, and that video is online, and people can watch the recap via that video. So for a radio company, per se, we, I think in the last 2018, we had over a billion views across all our brands.
A billion
views across Facebook, Instagram, YouTube. So, I mean, for that, that's never, I guess, we never foresaw that coming for our radio for a radio company. And that's why, as I think Daphne put it, we're no longer just a radio station. We're a multi-platform brand.
Okay. But does this put onerous pressure on the people who work there, who are delivering the content? Now you're not just on radio. You have to be a face on video. You have to write text. You have to tweet.
You evolve. This is how I saw my evolution as a radio presenter. You know, now I'm doing videos and you know, and doing a current affairs show twice a week, you know. Mind you, we invite notable people on Front Page. We've invited you two as well.
I haven't come yet.
You will one day to talk about the latest headlines, you know, and I moderate that discussion. So it's evolving. Everyone is kind of getting on board with what the thirst is, which is, you know, more conversation.
Okay. So, but with everybody's attention, as it were, dispersed across all these different platforms, yes, there's the mobile device, and somehow you have to scale even the image for that, right? I mean, everything has to be kind of like friendly to the device. Does it make it very difficult to know who and how? I mean, from a marketing perspective, from advertisers, is it become a real huge challenge? Because everybody's talking about the real crisis in, you know, for the media in terms of business models, right? I mean, media companies generally across the world are in crisis, right?
Challenge in the sense of knowing who the audience is? I guess we've taken one step closer to trying to tie all our different platforms together so that we have that singular view, because I think that's where kind of the pot of gold is, to understand really who our consumers are, what they are consuming, so that we can better deliver the content that they want where they want it. Astro has implemented a data management platform, and we, being part of the group, have access to that as well. So on the marketing and the digital front, we are trying to consolidate, and we do use that data to then remarket and try and optimize our content to that. So it's using that information as well.
But isn't this the day of the age of the outlier? Somebody comes from left field, has something special to deliver, and it goes wild, right? And big companies might just not be nimble enough to that. But we'll talk about that in the next segment. Stay tuned to Let's Talk with Misha Rajkutan. Hi, welcome back to Let's Talk. I'm Sharad Kutum. With me are Daphne Prem and Shaz, all radio people from Astro in various capacities. We were talking earlier about the, I mean, just the nature of media, right? Somebody, now everybody can be a broadcaster, right? I mean, that's the reality, right? You don't need a license. You don't need government approval. You can broadcast. And you can do something special. You can take risks. Is that something big companies like Astro, like ours, can do today? Prem?
I think we already are. For example, in Astro Radio, we scout new talent on the digital platform. So, for example, I think about a year ago, I hired a person, a videographer, who I discovered on Instagram. So everything he learned on YouTube. He didn't go for formal training. So he had a diploma in accountancy, but he was passionate about video editing. And we found his Instagram account. We reached out to him. You know what? Do you want to come and join us? We have a job opening for you. He came in, he brushed up his skills, and now he's one of the best video editors that we have in Astro Radio. So I guess for us, again, for a big company like Astro, it's just about narrowing down the focus in terms of what we want to achieve. Again, we have the DMP where we consolidate the data from across the group, but how do you use that? How do we personalize the experience for when someone comes to your website or when someone reads an article on your app? Again, New York Times used to be one of the biggest print publications in the world. This year, their digital revenue surpassed their print revenue. So they've evolved, and they've put a paywall on their website. So it's essentially how quickly you can evolve and what are you using that data to enrich your consumers.
But what about, you know, big companies being kind of risk averse? I mean, they have all these advertisers and stakeholders who say, you know, we don't want things that are too controversial, blah, blah, blah. Is that holding us back, the inability to take risks? I mean, and that's a session you don't have to agree with, but Shaz, what do you think? Having come from a time when it was scary to interview a politician or to bring on somebody who was not conforming to what was acceptable, and even now.
I think it's easier now, but of course, you know, when you do have advertisers, you have to take all these sensibilities, and you still do. That's just how it is, but if you're doing...
And they are risk averse, aren't they?
Yeah, some of them are, but you'd be surprised that some of our clients want to push the envelope a little bit, and they're willing to go with the flow, so...
Right, I mean, so Daphne, how do you see it? I mean, are we at a stage, you know, in the life of the Malaysian media, domestic media, where we can have a real take off, you know, content that's challenging, that might in fact go beyond our national boundaries, right? Reach out to the region, go global. I mean, we think of, you know, This American Life that's, kind of a phenomenon, you know, or serial, something like that, you know, where Malaysians can tell stories mm-hmm. that actually connect with global audiences. Perhaps in those languages that we share
yeah.
internationally, whether it's Mandarin or Malay or English, right? Mm. Or even Tamil, right? Yeah. Reaching out to the subcontinent.
So, I mean, a lot of the content we produce, especially in the digital space, mm-hmm. has that potential and actually have gone, I would, for lack of a better word, viral into different countries. Mm-hmm. One good example would be a media documentary we did about living with HIV, which we did for Light. And that actually went through to different countries where people are saying, it was just essentially talking about the discrimination and the misconception about a person living with HIV. Mm-hmm. But a lot of people related to that content because they know someone.
It's universal, right?
It's very universal. Yeah.
Yeah. And is that part of the game plan, you know, to kind of go regional, to tell a Malaysian story that but make it resonate with people who are not Malaysians or not in Malaysia? Or what is the strategy? I mean, Henry was on the cover of The Edge recently,
yep,
you know,
that, yeah.
you know, our chief, you know, and it's ambitious, right? To create global content is not easy, is it?
Yeah. Well, as you would have saw in the article that about Henry, some of the content that we've created is already reaching the shores outside of Malaysia, and it is in the languages that we share, especially, let's say, Indonesia, for instance. On the radio side of the business, thanks to digital, that accessibility of it, we're no longer bounded by our geography, right? That FM broadcasting element of it.
Before, you had to have shortwave in order to go far, right?
And you're not bound by a radio license or anything.
Yeah, absolutely.
So then the trick is, if that's no longer a hindrance, the trick is the content, the sensibility, the language. I mean, not just the language, like what language you're speaking, but the tone, the register. How do we make it real for people that we don't even experience in our own, you know, in our own backyard, right? I mean, how would you do that? Well, how do you speak to a global audience?
Look, anything that you read or you a viral video from Reddit or from the States, I mean, when we get that, you know, in our news feeds on Facebook all the time, and we relate to it. And I can't see why we can't produce the same kind of content that would be relatable elsewhere. We did a campaign called Hoarders last year. It won an award. Mm-hmm. And, we all have one aunt, one relative who's a hoarder. We could relate to it. And we went into her house and just explored her living conditions and how we could maybe help her improve that life. And people were texting us and messaging us.
And this was video? Yeah.
This was a video.
And that video had close to 2 million views.
Mm. Right. And so for the company, are those numbers significant? Because it sounds phenomenal for somebody like me.
Definitely.
But is it in sort of marketing terms or in terms of the business, is it significant?
It is. We put a lot of effort into creating this content to reach the audience that we want to. I just want to come back to your previous question, which is about how do we grow outside of Malaysia. For Astro Radio, we believe that we've developed these different brands to target specific audiences. And in Asia, it's so rich culturally. I think if we were to do that, we would probably develop different brands to enter the markets. For sure, there's certain pieces of content, such as Hoarders, such as Living with HIV, that is universal and people can relate to. But to truly connect with an audience, the content needs to be localized a little bit. But it could be spin-offs of existing brands that we have. Again, we take our number one brand, which is Era, that reaches over 6 million Malaysians on a weekly basis, right? That particular brand, when we think about it, has certain characteristics that are built in our minds, and we might take that and then replicate it elsewhere if we were to do something like that.
Right, okay. Yeah. So in the last 30 seconds or so, do we have any exciting news coming out from Astro Radio? Something that we should be looking forward to?
You're coming on the show on Front Page.
Okay.
Yeah, that's something to look forward to. Yeah.
We're launching a brand new app in the second quarter this year, and that's going to be at least what we think is going to be a game changer in terms of the local entertainment.
All right, so it's an app for Astro for radio content.
Yes.
Okay, mm-hmm. Wonderful. Thank you so much for having, for being here.
Yes.
For being, and for having me in your show, because I've got to come on your show, for sure. Okay, thanks again. I've been speaking to Jasmine Shamsuddin, host of Light Breakfast show, also Prem Anand and Daphne Lutz, both from Astro Radio. One as head of digital and the other as head of marketing. This has been Let's Talk with me, Sharad Kutan, only on Astro One.
Thank you for having us.
That was fascinating.